Morning, everyone. Today the daf is daf nun hey. In Menachos, we're a little bit behind. We're back on nun dalid. Let's try to get back to speed today. Great discussion in the Gemara that we've been having yesterday and today, and a discussion of dehydration. And really is a discussion of dehydration. But really it's a more conceptual discussion about something having a shear, reducing to below shear, and then coming back and having shear again. A lot of the discussion revolves around the Mishnah in Uksin. The Mishnah Uksin, I'm just going to go back. We're going to start again. We're Nun Dalet Amud Aleph. I'm going to start again from the Mishnah Uksin. I'm going to go through the first part quickly today. I will warn you, the first part of today, which is going to be most of today, is going to be a little bit complicated. The concept is not complicated. The concept is pretty straightforward. But especially when we get to the Mishnayos and Trumos and the Tosefta's and Trumos, it'll get a little tricky, but hopefully we'll make our way through it. And that really will be most of our discussion today. So we go back to our Mishnah in Uksin, where really everything starts from this Mishnah. The Mishnah reads like this: middle of Nundal Amid Aleph, Tanan Hausam Besar Ha'ego, Ashenitfach Ubazar Zeken Ashenit Ma'ech, Mishtarin Lechmo Shehen. So the Mishnah reads that if I have meat of either it's calf meat, what we call veal, and it blows up, okay, meaning that the meat itself started as a small piece of meat, but it blew up. It swells. Or you have meat of an older animal and it shrinks. So Mishtarin Lechmo Shehen. So the Mishnah says you measure it Lechmo Shehen. Okay, now, there's a question amongst the Amoraim, which the Gemara is about to present to us. How do you read those last three words of that Mishnah Uksin? Those last three words in the Mishnah Uksin really say it all, but we're not 100% sure what it says. Okay, that becomes a tricky part. It really says it all, meaning the question is a very basic question. How do I measure it? What it once was or what it is? Okay? Usually in halacha, by the way, just in general, you know, usually you work with what you have in front of you, right? Ein l'dayan ela masha ein avros. Usually a judge, you know, you can't ask more from a judge than what he sees, and what he sees over here is what usually is. So, but anyway, but the Mishnah says l'chamo shehein. Okay, so Rav, Rav Chia, Rabbi Yochanan. So three giants amongst the Amorayim, Rav, Rav Chia, Rabbi Yochanan, more or less the same. Same generation. Rav was a student of Rabbi Chia, and Rabbi Yochanan, of course, is Rabbi Yochanan. Right, these first generation Amorim. So these three are of the opinion Amre Mishtarin Kamos Shehein. So you look at it as it is, right? Exactly what we just described. What you're dealing with right now, that's the shear. If the shear is less than a kezias, then you don't have a shear. If the shear is more than a kezias, then you do have a shear. That is it. By the way, I say kezias. Realize I'm wrong. Okay, now I'll admit it. I'm wrong. It's not here. The shear that we're talking about is not a kezias, but rather kebetza. So the reason why that's the shear over here is because we're talking about tumah tahara. When we're talking about tumas ochlin, food becoming tame, eligible to being tame, you need a kebetza. The shear is a kebetza of food. The volume of an egg, which is larger than the volume of an olive. Okay, a technical point, but you know, still correction. Shmuel v'Rabbi Shimon b'Rabbi Reish Lakish Amri Mishayin l'chamos shehein, or as the Bach changed it, l'chamos shehayu. And the opinions of Shmuel, right, which is the counterpart to Rav, and Reish Lakish, which is the counterpart to Rav Yochanan. So they're of the position, by the way, usually the people we don't follow in terms of the Machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, and the Machlokas of Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. So, but anyway, they say, Mishtarin Lechemosh Shehayu. You go back to what it once was, meaning if since it was originally, let's go to the veal. The veal meat was originally less than a shear. So it doesn't give off tumah tahara, even though presently it's more than a shear. And in the case of the zakena, the older meat, which shrunk, since it was a shear, so therefore, even though now currently doesn't have a shear, it's going to give off tumah. Okay, that is right now in the Gemara, as it's presented to us, Meisve. So the Gemara challenges, we did this challenge yesterday, I'm going to go through this quickly. Basar ego shalayu bo kashir v'tafach v'amad al kashir, Tahor. Lechisha'aver v'tamei mikanu lahaba. So here you have a brisa, and the brisa is really clear. The brisa says that when you have, again, this veal meat, which did not have the shear, meaning it was less than the kibbutz, and it swelled up, and now in volume it is a kashir. So before it swelled, it wasn't a shear, so therefore it's tahor. From this point forward, now that it has a shear, it is tamei. So Brisa says pretty clearly, you work with what you have in front of you. Since in front of you it swelled, and right now it's over a shear, so therefore it's over a shear, kind of seems pretty straightforward. The Gemara's response is midrabanan. Well, maybe the Brisa is only talking about on a rabbinic level, but meaning fundamentally, even though it swelled, but really it's still, we view it pachos kashir, we just view the swelling as just swelling, but it's not real added volume to the piece of meat.
So the argument in the group of six is the Raita argument.
Yeah. Right?
Everybody agrees with Rabbanon that this thing is coming.
Based on the answer that's just presently given the Gemara, that would be absolutely correct. Okay. Ihachi Masefa, the Gemara says, okay, you want to tell me that this Brisa is operating on a rabbinic level, but that can't be, because when the Brisa continues, it discusses Vechem B'Pigol Vechem B'Nosar. Same story by Pigol and Nosar. Pigol and Nosar, now here, I go back to what I said earlier, I corrected myself earlier, we're talking about a shear of a kebetza, here now we're talking about a shear of, presumably, a kazayas, right? Because you're not allowed to eat Pigol, you're not allowed to eat Nosar. We're talking about Achila now, so Achila, the shear is a kazayas. Either way, the point of the Gemara is, that's a din d'oraisa. That's not rabbinic law. That's Torah law. Pigol and Nosar are the oraisa concepts. And the Gemara says, it's the same thing. Meaning, that if it swells over a kazayas, so and you eat it, you're chayef. All right? If it shrinks to under, well, the Brisa doesn't talk about that, but you get the point. Meaning, you work with it as it is right now. And not only that, but when we say pigol and nosar, we're talking about daraisa. The Gemara makes exactly this point. Iyamar b'shlama daraisa hanudika pigol and nosar. Ela iyamar derabana pigol and nosar, but derabana meika. So the Gemara says you don't have that. You don't have a din derabanan pigol. You don't have a din derabanan of nosar. That doesn't exist on a derabanan level. It only exists on a daraisa level. So the Gemara is essentially saying, so what are we talking about? We're talking about daraisa. So Ema, the Gemara, still defensive of the position, says v'chem b'tumas pigol v'chem b'tumas nosar. Well, maybe you can make the following argument. Maybe we could be saying that the pigol nosar is not talking about the eating of pigol, the eating of nosar, but the tumah that comes off pigol and the tumah that comes off nosar. As I explained at the end of yesterday's shiur, rabbinically the rabbis inserted a tumah, right? They do this on a number of occasions, meaning when something doesn't give off tumah on a daraisa level, so like pigol and osar. Pigol and osar is just isurei achila, you're not allowed to eat it. But along came the chachamim and they added a layer of isur, sorry, they added a layer of tumah. They declared pigol nosar to be tummy. Why did they do that? So I explained yesterday very simply, because they wanted the kohen to refrain from it. Just because it's asr ba'achila, the chachamim wanted to do more to separate the kohanim from these items. So therefore they slapped a tumah on these items. Okay, rabbinically. So now, Sakadat Chamina, now the Gemara says, here's what I might have thought. Hold the Tumas Pigol, the Tumas Nosa, the Rabbanan, he, since the concept of Tumma by these items are only the Rabbanan, Kule Habid Rabbanan, Lo Avid Rabbanan. So now, think about it. Because really, it's Rabbanan layered on top of Rabbanan. One Durabanan is the whole idea that there's a Tumma Durabanan by Pigol and Nosar. Another Durabanan, in the Gemara's defensive position, is that if I have something under a shear and it swells up to a shear, rabbinically we're going to treat it like it has the shear. So that's one Durabanan layered on top of another Durabanan. I might have thought that's too much Durabanan, Kamash Malan, that's the Chiddush. The Chiddush is, no such thing as too much Durabanan. No, that's not the Kamash Malan. The Kamash Malan is that in this particular case, we will say that we'll layer one on top of another.
Didn't you say that the Chumrah of the Rambam did not apply inside the Beit HaMikdash? You have like a double case?
You have a double Durabanan in the Beit HaMikdash. Again, the Gemara right now is taking a defensive position. I'm not sure how sold the Gemara is on this position, but yes, it is. Your comment is very well taken. It's an oddity. Tashma, basa zekena shayu ba kashir v'tzamak pachos mechashir tamel l'shaver v'tar mikano l'haba. Okay, the Gemara quotes another braisa, and here I'm going to guess, maybe even correctly, you know how my guesses go, that this is the second half of the braisa that we just quoted, meaning that the braisa talked about the basar ha'ego, the meat of the calf which swelled up. So its complementary case is meat of an older animal which shrinks. So basar zekenish ayuba kashir vitsamak, and it shrunk. It reduces in size. Pachus mikashir. Now it's no longer the shear. So the brisa says tamei l'sha'avar. So in the past, when it was the shear of a kibetza, so it was tamei. V'tara mikan ulahaba, and from this point forward, it is tara because you no longer have the shear. Okay. Now, really, I mean, we don't even have to go any further than the Gemara. The case has been made. Meaning, right now, the easier argument to make is you look at things as is. Right now, it doesn't have a shear. So if it doesn't have the shear, it doesn't give off tumma. What are you going to... In other words, I know, right, the Gemara was presenting positions that you go back to the time that it was, but it's a hard position to defend. And not only that, but the Braisa here pretty much rejects it. Meaning, as opposed to the previous case where the Gemara was able to defend and say, well, that's just a din derabanan. Over here, what are you going to say? The Braisa says very clearly, v'tahor mikanu lahaba. Since it shrinks and since you no longer have the shear, it's tahor.
The other thing is that the status of was is very inflexible, in that it could never change. Once you label
right.
something as tummy.
Right. It's a tough position. I'm a rabbi. Okay. So rabbi says, how about this? How about we rethink everything? Okay? Rabbi now will come forward and provide for us a fresh perspective on this issue. Kol hecha demi kara hava bay, the hashta leis bay, ha leis bay. Okay, so in terms of rethinking our position on this matter, any time that it had a shear and it doesn't, and now it doesn't have a shear, so what are you going to say? It doesn't have a shear. It simply does not have the requisite shear, even though historically this piece of meat did have the amount, but now it doesn't. You look at things as it is. The chol hecha demikar lo hava bay. And let's go conversely, where it didn't have a shear, v'hashta hava bay, and now it does have a shear, midrabanan. So we're going to say that at least rabbinically, it's going to be tummy. Now,
how does the original change anything? Because there really is midrabanan.
Correct.
He just stated it.
How does this?
Change it. Okay. No. The chiddush right now is just he's going to right, and this is the way Rashi approaches it. He's basically going to say, look, this debate that exists between the six Amoraim, the Rav and Rav Yochanan on one side, the Shmuel and Reish Lakish on the other side, I'm going to seriously limit the whole debate. Okay. If it had a shear and now it doesn't have a shear, it doesn't have a shear. If it didn't have a shear and it expands and it swells, rabbinically we're going to say that it had a shear. Ki pligi. The whole debate that transpires is kigon would be the following scenario: shahaya bo kashir, it did have the shear, the samak, and then it reduced the chazav atafach, and then expanded again. So we're talking about basically, well, like I spoke about at the beginning of this morning, it went through some sort of dehydration process and it shrunk, and then it got rehydrated. So now it's back to its original position. Damar savi yesh dichu biisura. One of the expressions the Gemara loves is this idea of dichui, and the Gemara uses it in different contexts. Over here, it's a very original context in which we're using the term dichui. Dichui literally means to push off, right? We have the idea of dichui when it comes to karbanos. We have the idea of dichui as it pertains to mitzvos. Yesh dichui b'mitzvos or ain dichui b'mitzvos. Here, dichui is used in a very original context. Does an iser get pushed off? So here, it started off, the piece of meat in question had a shear. And then what happens, it gets dehydrated. So now it's less than a shear. So at this point in time, we would say, Rabbah would look at it and say, okay, it doesn't have the shear. You deal with things as it is. It doesn't have a shear. And then what happens, it gets rehydrated, right? Sits in a rain, and it gets rehydrated. So now it goes back to the point where it originally was. Okay, so now, do I look at it and do I say, well, let's look at the history. It was at one point this year, then moisture loss, then it shrunk, now it's less than a year, but you're back to where you started from. Meaning, I understand we went on a journey, but we're back right to where we started from. So do we look at this point as, basically, this? It's not A to B to C, but it's A to B back to A. So that one position would be, that we're back to where we originally were, and therefore you have a shear. Or no, do we say it's A to B, even though we're back at A, but it's not A. As they would say in math, A prime. Right? It's a new A altogether.
Yes, B can never be an outcome of A.
Right. Right. Once leaving A, that's it. It doesn't come back. It starts fresh again. It's a new entity. So the Gemara says, okay, what about this? Mishnah in Taharos. It was a food the size of a kibetza. You left it out in the sun. Okay, so it's going to dry up. Vinismatu. And that's exactly what happens. It dries up. And now it's less than a shear. V'chein kezayis men ames, kezayis men anavelo, chadash men asheretz. U kezayis pigo, kezayis noser, kezayis chelev taharin. And the Mishnah Taharos gives an assortment of different things that shrink because it's out in the sun. Right? Gruesomely, the first thing that's mentioned over here, kezayis men ames. Right? You have a kezayis of remains, of human remain. And a kezayis, a mace, would give off tumah, and then left out in the sun, and it shrunk. And same thing is true with nevela, carcass of a dead animal, and kadashim and asheretz, and a lentil, right? Yeah, a lentil of sheretz, which is a minimum shear that you need in order for sheretz to give off tumah, and kezayis of pigle, and kezayis of noser, and kezayis of chelev tahorin. V'ein chayav and love mishum pigle noser v'chelev. He nichem b'kshamim, and then the Mishnah goes on. After being out in the sun and dehydrating and reducing, and no longer the shear, it's now left out in the rain. V'tavchu, and it expands, it swells because the rain increased its volume. Tameim v'chayav l'mishum pigal manos v'chelev. And the Mishnah ends off by saying, once rehydrated, okay, so it's rehydrated. So, it's a Mishnah in Taharos. The Mishnah in Taharos says, dehydration, rehydration brings us back to where we started. That's the Mishnah in Tahara. Tiyufta lamandam yeshtichu b'isurin tiyufta. So even the notion that Rabbah suggested to us that there is such a concept of dichui. I go to A, I go to B, I go back to A. So Rabbah wanted to present to us that there is room to argue that you don't go back to A, but it's new A, it's A prime, it's not the original A, but once you read the Mishnah Taharos, really there's no way around it. A back to the A down to B, back to A, you're back to where you started from. Okay. So
this clarified that there was no dichui, right?
There's no dichui.
But who do you go by in terms of
We're not done yet. Okay, this whole discussion takes us all the way to the Mishnah. I told you the first part of today is going to be all revolved around this issue about going under the shear, going over the shear, dehydration, rehydration. Okay. Tashma. Okay, so now we are going to keep analyzing this topic of rehydration being less than a shear. And what do I look at? Do I look at it as what it once was, or do I look at it as it is right now? And we're going to discuss it now in the context of Trumos and Maestros. Okay. Crash course in Trumos and Maestros. I'm going to give, it's going to be 2 good minutes of just information that we need to know right now in order to appreciate basically the next Amud of Gemara. So it's going to be a crash course. Okay, everyone ready? Okay, coffee break. Break is over. Okay, let's go. The first thing that we give off we're going to be talking now in the context of grogerus of dates, not dates. I'm sorry, figs. Okay, we're going to talk about figs that come straight off the tree, and we're going to talk about the dried figs. Right? I like figs, by the way. I'm starting to get the hang of it.
Very good.
I'm on record for liking figs. All right. First and foremost, when I go into my backyard and I harvest my figs, so I got to first off take off what's called Trumah Gedolah. Trumah Gedolah goes to the Kohen. Kohen of my choice. It's Min HaTorah. How much do I give to the Kohen? So any amount, really. Any amount really given to the Kohen. Afilu Chita Achas Poter Sakri is a term that's used in the Gemara. Right, even one kernel is all I really need to give. But the Chachamim realized, come on, that's really not giving. That's You know what I mean? That's not a whole lot. So the Chachamim said, we want you to give a healthy amount. Okay, what's a healthy amount? So, believe it or not, in the world of Truma Gedola, there's a range that they gave us in terms of how much I should give. Beinoni, middle of the road person, should give 2% to the Kohen, right? 1 out of 50. Right, that's what a Beinoni should give. If you want to be more generous, you give 1 out of 40. If you want to be cheap, you can give 1 out of 60. But, right, you have that range. The Chachamim gave you a range in terms of what to work with. That's that range of from 140 to one, from 140th to 160th, that's the Din
D'Rabbanan. 1.5 to 2.5?
Right about. Not right about, exactly. With 2% being the Beinoni, that's how much the average person should give if you consider yourself to be a Beinoni, not cheap, not generous, somewhere right in the middle. Okay. But when you go to the restaurant, you know, they give you a choice of how much to tip. Okay. After that, then you give. Now, in the world of Truma, this is important, just realize this also on our crash course. In the world of Truma, because there's no absolute number, so you want to give more than 2%, you can. You want to give 5%, it's all going to be considered Truma, meaning by Truma, it's not a hard number. And even when the Chachamim gave us a number, they gave us a range. So it's not a hard number when it comes to Truma. Next thing that we're supposed to give Meiser. That's 10%. Okay, 10% of where we started, 10% of the remainder, subject to our machlokas. I do have in the back of my head a Tosfos and Gittin that discusses this issue. But for now, let's just say 10% now is Meiser Rishon. I got to give that. Now, Meiser by definition means 10%. The word Meiser actually comes from the word Esser. That's 10%. 10% cannot be more than 10%, can't be 11%, can't be 9%. Right? There's no room for negotiation. 10% means exactly 10%. That has to be given to the Levi. Next.
Of the total, or after you take off for the...
Subject to a machlokas. Okay? Somewhere in the Chafs, Tosfos. Anyway, next. After that, then you personally either have to give Truma Meiser Sheni or Meiser Ani, depending on the year. If it's years 1, 2, 4, 5, you give Meiser Sheni. If it's years 3, 6, you give Meiser Ani. Okay, but I'm not going to focus on that because you don't need to know about that for now. Okay, obviously it's important, but not for today and the Gemara today, you don't need to know about that. There's one other thing that we need to be fully aware of. After I give 10% over to the Levi, his story's not done yet. Meaning he has to take 10% of what he received, the Levi now, 10% of what he received and give it to the Kohen. This is called Trumas Meiser, right? It is 10% of that which he received. For those of you who are mathematically gifted, that's 1% of the total, 10% of 10%. You don't have to really be gifted. You just have to know basic fractions.
Levi gets more than the Kohen.
The Levi gets more than the Kohen, but again, if you think about it, it's not really true.
Not really.
It's based on population. It's based on the fact that the Torah says it. But part of why the Torah says it is because a Levi represents a higher population representative. So Levi is one shevet. Right. So they're going to... Right, so they get 10%, but they get 10% collectively of the total. Kohanim are a fraction of the family of the Levi, so for them... 2% plus another 1% that they're receiving from the Levim is only 3%, right? In terms of population, in terms of total population, the numbers do make sense.
You choose the Levi, you get
Levi. And by Levi, you get to choose. Look, the system is, obviously, it allows room for negotiation because you can choose your Kohen, you can choose your Levi. The Kohen, who is not the nicest Kohen and doesn't have all the friends in the world, he's going to have issues. Okay. Again, just...
In fact, you get 3.5%, 2.5% plus 1% of Levi.
Right.
It's actually 3.5%.
It could be as much as 3.5%, that's correct. Okay, I think we're good. Just one other thing I want to go over with you, just so that we get things clear. We're going to be talking now a lot about figs. This is basically going to be what we call Grogeris and Te'anim. Okay, and they're both figs. Grogeris are the dried figs, right? You go to the store, you buy dried fruit. So we all know that the dried fig is going to be in volume much less than a fresh fig. A fresh fig is going to occupy a lot more volume. Rashi says, basically, and it's nice and easy for us to figure this out, basically the volume between a fresh fig and a dry fig is going to be 2 to 1. Okay? Nice, easy easy mathematics to work with for today. 2 to 1 ratio between a fresh fig versus a dried fig. Okay? All that stated now, the only reason why we're about to learn the next Amud of Gemara, right? It's 20 to 25 minutes of Gemara, is that we are going to be discussing it in the context of our discussion. Our discussion is, how do we view things? As they currently are, or do we look historically at what they once were? Again, major machlokas between the Amoraim. Rabbah gave us his take on the issue. The Gemara ends up rejecting Rabbah. Now, with all that said, now we're going to have a discussion based on a series of Mishnayos and Tosefta of Trumos on this very issue, based on simply the following. Okay, Tashma. Turnim te'inim al agrogeris b'minyan. Okay? When you take te'inim al agrogeris, when you take your fresh figs and you are mafrish them over grogeris. Now, generally speaking, we don't like, the Torah does not want us to take one type of fruit and to be mafrish or mafrish on another type of fruit. And even if it's the same fruit family, but one's dried and one's fresh, generally speaking, the Chachamim didn't want us to do that as well. However, it's all figs over here, okay? So you could take off te'inim al grogeris, meaning you're going to take off the fresh stuff, right? The bigger stuff over grogeris, b'minyan. And there, you could just work with count, and that would be okay. You could just work with count, and that would be okay. Now, working with count, meaning counting the number of figs, dried versus fresh, why in the world should that be okay? Think about it. The fresh figs are twice as big as the dried figs. So in volume, they are disproportionate. Totally disproportionate. So why should counting work? So, if you... Right, the Bach consistently makes that correction. If you operate with an assumption that, even though they're dried right now, but if you operate with the assumption that you look at them as it once was, so then it's you understand this perfectly. Meaning, I know in volume the dried is half the size of the fresh, but still, right? I can do it by count because every dried fig once upon a time was fresh and was twice its size. Good. Ela iamar kamoshein havale marben b'masros. But. If we don't look at it as it once upon a time was, but we look at it currently as the here and now, so what are you doing? What you're doing is something which is actually terrible. Okay? Strong language. But it is. It's really bad what you're doing. Because you are now taking 10%, but it's not really 10%. Right? The fresh figs are twice the size as the dried figs. So imagine now, right? Let me give you a simple example. Let's imagine that there are 10 figs in front of you, 9 of them are dried, and 1 of them is a fresh fig. In volume, it's not 10% of the total, it's 20% of the total. Now, consider the following. As I explained earlier, when it comes to taking off Meiser, you don't take off about 10%, you must take off exactly 10%.
But is that based on number or volume?
Volume.
By volume.
By all this, by Trumas and Maestros, it's volume.
Not weight and not numbers.
No, volume. Volume is the key. So, Hamarbe b'ma'asros perosav misukanim v'ma'asrosav mikul kalim. In fact, the Mishnah tells us that if you were to do this, so look, the fruit that I left over, so that's fine, because in the example that I gave, where there are 10 figs, and 9 of them are dried, and I took off the one fresh fig, which in volume is twice the size. So that which remained is 80% of the remainder. That's good. In other words, you can, right, there should be 90%, but there's 80%, that's fine. But that one fresh fig that you took off is 20%. Now, that's not good, because by Meiser has to be on the dot 10%. So what you have over here, that fresh fig that you took off, is a combo. It's a combination of maser and chulin. So ma'asrosav milku kalin. So how can the Braisa tell us that when I'm doing fresh figs onto dry figs, Don't worry, do it by count. Don't worry, do it by count. If we look at things as they are right now, doing it by count is exactly what I don't want to do. If I look at things as they are. If I can go back and look at them all as fresh figs, so then in volume, they're all the same, even though currently they aren't. But if I'm looking at things as they are right now, so how do you get away with taking off by count? Ella. My lechemo shehen, ema seifa. So the Gemara says, okay, fine, but I'm going to go to the next part of the Braisa, and let's see if you can work. Meaning if the position of going back to once they what they once were, let's see if that works. Grogor salataenim. Let's go the other direction. Let's take off dried figs off of fresh figs. Okay? So now I'm taking off the small shrivel stuff for, and I'm giving that to the lady.
By number, by volume.
Bemida. Here it says I work with mida. I work with volume. I don't work with number. Okay. Iamat bishlama chemoshehain shapir. Ela iamart lichemoshehain. Now, if you're taking the position, which you would like to take, which is I look at them as they once upon a time were, so I'm going by volume? I don't understand. Volume is not the way to go. Because if we all look at things as they once were, volume doesn't get you to what they once were. When it says volume, the Gemara's assumption is we go by current volume, not by past volume. So here, I took these dry little figs, but the truth of the matter is that if we go back licha Moshe Hayu, they're not dried little figs. They are twice the size.
Why do you choose the current volume according to Rav? Why don't you choose by according to Shmuel, the past volume?
Right. Well, because the word mida, I guess it's unprecedented. It's a fair question. I think it's unprecedented that the word mida means that you go by past volume. Mida means volume, meaning it's current volume.
In this discussion, you're just following along with Rav. You're not, right?
Right. So the Gemara says, Marba b'masrosu. And so now, if you go and measure by Mida, so it turns out now that those little figs that you took off, those shriveled figs that you took off, are going to be considerably more, because again, we're taking the position of Lichem Moshe Hayu. We don't measure them based on what they are right now, but once what they once were. So, fine. So you see over here that there basically are two sides to this Tosefta, to this Braisa. One side is, what if I take the fresh figs over the dried figs, and what if I take the dried figs over the fresh figs? Now, whatever position I take, I'm going to get stuck. Because in the first case, where I take the fresh figs over the dried figs, so the Braisa says, do it by count. Okay? If I take the dried figs over the fresh figs, so then do it by volume. So I'm kind of stuck now. Because if I go to Lechemosha Hayu, to once they once were, I got the second part of the Braisa really is a kicker. And if I go to what they currently are, the first part of the Braisa is really going to be problematic. So Ella Hacha, so the Gemara says, okay, how about this? Let's try this out. B'truma gedola askina v'resh ba'ein yafa v'seifa ba'ein yafa hi. Okay. The Gemara suggests, well, you know, going through this discussion, we walked into this discussion with an assumption. Now, I played along because I knew the Gemara was going to change it, but still, as we walked into this Braisa, we assumed that the Braisa was talking about Masros, right? The 10% that I'm supposed to give to the Levi, and that's why we were then, it bothered us how we then, in other words, if 10% has to be 10%, and there's no room for negotiation, so then either it can't be count and volume. It's got to be either count or it's got to be volume, and you got to be consistent. And how can the Braisa jump from count to volume? And that's why we were getting stuck.
But you said master by was by volume anyway.
But volume, but it has to be 10%. But then the first part of the Braisa says, if you're doing fresh figs over dried figs, do it by count. But do it by count. That's not going to, right? That's not going to get me to 10%.
Now the first one to the coin could be...
But the Gemara assumed... I'm sorry to stop you so early. The Gemara assumed that we weren't talking about the coin, we were talking about the leaving, we were talking about 10%, and that's not variable. That has to be 10%, 10% of the volume. So the Gemara says, let's try it like this. Let's say that we're not talking about Meiser. Now, it is fair to argue that we're talking about Truma because... Actually, if I go back and I reread the first word of the Braisa, it says tormin. Now, tormin, you understand, torein just simply means to take off. but the root of the word happens to be truma. So the Gemara says maybe that's what we're talking about. Maybe we're talking about truma. You see, because now if we're talking about truma, so then a lot of the issues are really already just resolved themselves. Because truma is not a fixed number. Truma you can give generously, you can give cheap. There is a range. So if I'm saying take off the fresh figs off the dried, so the fresh figs are nice, plump, and big, twice as big as the dried figs in volume. So there, if I'm taking off a fresh fig over the dry stuff, so you know what? Do it by number. All right? Do it by number. Oh, you're going to be ending up giving more to the Kohen? Good. Good for you. You're generous. And if we are doing it the other way, meaning the dried figs over the fresh figs, don't do it by number, because the dried figs are twice as small, sorry, half the volume, so don't do it by number, there do it by volume. Because again, the idea is you want to be generous.
That means this is done first in the other calculation. Correct. The levy is
correct.
The next.
That's correct. In other words, but the Gemara says maybe that's what we're talking about.
Here's the situation that we're giving a 10% from a mixture of...
It's not... Again, by the way, I confused you, and I didn't mean to. I really didn't. I confused you because I said 10%. If you go back to the Brisa, the Brisa never uses the words 10%.
But you're giving it from mixture or from...
No. This is from the beginning of the produce. From the very beginning.
Because it's going to be the same anyways. You either go by volume or number because they're all the same size.
No, they're not. That's exactly the point. Meaning, the fresh figs are twice as large as the dried figs.
No, it doesn't matter. At the time that you're giving, you're not having a mixture in front of you. You have either fresh...
No, you have both.
Oh, you have both.
Yeah.
That's why... Correct.
You have both. So Ella, Hachabachum, Gadol, Askin, and Veresha, Ba'anyafa, V'Seifa, Ba'anyafa. I, Hachim, V'Seifa. The Gemara says, even the idea of suggesting that we're talking about Truma Gedola, you know that's not true, because, go on, meaning just read on the Braisa. I'm Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi, Abba Hayanotel, Esa Grogra, Shebe Mixoa, Al Tishim Shebe Kalkala. You know what my father did, reports Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi? My father took 10 dried figs, Mixoa means the cutting, 10 dried figs, off of 90 fresh figs. So, right, that's what are we talking about? We're talking about 1-9 ratio. We're talking about 10%. Okay, if we're talking about 10%, the whole idea that we're talking about Truma Gedola at most is 2.5%. But here we're talking about 10 off of 90. The Iba Truma Gedola, so my Avidate, why are we talking about the number 10? We shouldn't be talking about the number 10. Okay, so we are kind of stuck now because clearly we're talking about Maisa. So now we're a little bit stuck because now I go back to the Brisa. Remember, the first case in the Brisa was fresh figs off the dried figs, and the first case in the Brisa says do that by count. Dried figs off of fresh figs, or do that by volume. Well, it can't be that arbitrary. Meaning, because are we looking at them as they currently are right now, or do we look at them as they once upon a time were? So the Gemara says that's very difficult because then we should be consistent. Either do it by volume in both cases, or do it by count in both cases. But the idea of doing it in one way by count, the other way by volume, it's confusing and it's not uniform.
It's teaching us that we shouldn't even do it.
The pieces
should be separated.
Well, that's a general point, which actually we're going to come back to in just a moment. Okay, so the Gemara says, all right, how about this? Okay, we first assumed that was talking about Truma Gedola. We first assumed that was talking about Maisa Rishon. Okay, the Gemara says maybe not. The Gemara then suggested we're talking about Truma Gedola, but that can't be because we're using 10 out of 100. Right? 10 for 90. Right? 10 out of 100. That's Meiser number. So we're back to Meiser. The Gemara says maybe we're talking about Truma's Meiser. The 10% that the Levi is supposed to take off of the Meiser that was given to him and in turn give that to the Kohen. How does that help? Well, why would such a suggestion help us? So the Gemara says like this.
Does that mean strict as a regular Meiser?
Very good. Abba Elazar ben Gomel hu detanya. Abba Elazar ben Gomel omer v'nechshav lachem chumaschem b'shtei chumas akasu medaber. Echad chuma gedol v'achas chumas meiser. Kishem she chuma gedol nitalas ba'omed uv'machshava kach chumas meiser nitalas ba'omed uvemachshava. The 10% that the levy is supposed to give to the kohen, even though we call it trumas meiser, but fundamentally it's truma. Meaning, 10% is not a hard number. The 10% that I, the owner of the field, have to give to the levy, what I called meiser rishon, that's 10%. That's an absolute. That's a hard number. But the 10% that the levy is supposed to give to the kohen, even though it is 10%, but not a hard 10%. There's room for negotiation, there's room for latitude. Why? Because fundamentally it's truma. And just like by truma, truma is range, not exact. Same thing is true with trumas meiser. It's range, not exact. Ma truma gedola ba'ayin yafa, af truma meiser ba'ayin yafa. Good. Okay, so far, it's actually not that bad. It's really not that bad. So now, we go back to the Braisa, and now we finally settled on the fact that the Braisa is talking about Trumas Meiser. And we're going to add to that the point that Trumas Meiser does not have to be absolutely 10%. So far, so good. Mi na. Right? Second line down on Nun Hamad Aleph. Mi na. But the Gemara then says, good. While we're here, let's learn some lessons from here. Meaning, we got a little bit lost, but let's try to see if we can find ourselves. We are now discussing the broader issue of this morning has been, do we look at things as they currently are, or do we look at them as once upon a time they were? So, Umina, Amar Rav Elazar Bar Yossi, go back to the statement of Rav Elazar Bar Yossi, where he tells us what his father did. Abba Haya Notel, Eser Grogros, 10 dried figs, Shebe Miksoa on the cleaver, Al Tishim Shebekala for 90 fresh figs that were in the basket.
Great.
That's all you need to know. Meaning from that point alone, you see 10 dried figs for 90 fresh figs. So, right? Everyone see it? Where's the discussion? 10 dried figs in volume is a lot smaller.
5%.
Right? It's 5% of the 90 fresh figs.
The volume.
Right? In volume. So how does it work? The only way it can work is not by looking at them as they currently are, but looking at them as they once upon a time was. Iyamart bishlama lichamosha hayu. So if we look at the figs not as they currently are, but once upon a time were, so Amrinan Shapir. So perfect. So then I understand the 10 to 90. Eliamar Kemoshehain Batsilahu. But if we're looking at things as they currently are, didn't you just stiff the Kohen by giving him 10 of the shriveled up figs over what you had was not over 90 fresh figs? And the answer is yeah, you did. Because right, you're supposed to give 10%.
Can I ask you, so the whole concept of volume, you master by volume, there is no uniformity among even fresh figs to be so exact. You know,
to the best of your ability, you're supposed to be exact. And here, if we're dealing with a ratio of 2 to 1, where the dried fig is a half of the fresh fig, here it's such a discrepancy, meaning...
No, but you're going to use the container to measure them.
Right,
this
right.
is 10% from the Meiser Rishon?
This is 10%. The Gemara now is saying that 10% of the Meiser Rishon that's supposed to go to the Kohen, but 10% now, and you're giving 10 dried figs over 90 fresh figs, you're not giving him 10%.
Right.
You're giving half.
By volume.
Right, by volume, which... And volume is the measurement. So ki asr of dim amar of Elazar shani groger is hold diachol shulkan olachzir lechemoshehin. So the Gemara is not going to settle the issue, but the Gemara says, look, and I know this is going to be frustrating because basically we'll take the last 20 minutes of Gemara and basically, in the context, meaning everything we just learned is correct, and we did learn a lot in terms of shumas and maisers and. But in the context of this discussion, the Gemara basically just said, leave this out of the whole discussion. Because in the world of figs, it's easy to rehydrate figs. So even though they are currently dry right now, I know, even though they're currently dry right now, it's so easy to rehydrate them, I will look at dried figs as if they're fresh and large. So in the world of figs, there's no such thing as dried figs.
Jeez.
Meaning dried and fresh, since the rehydration process is so simple and so easy, it's fine. In the world of meat, where the whole discussion started, it may not be that way. Tanu Rabbanan, well, let's finish this up now because we're here anyway. Tanu Rabbanan, Tarmin Te'enim, Alagrogros, Bamakam Shergil, and Lassos Te'enim. I'm sorry, Te'enim Grogros. Okay. The Braisa tells us that, look, and now we get back to the broader discussion, which Aaron, you raised just a couple of minutes ago. Meaning, what do you think the Kohen would prefer? Meaning, I have dried figs and I have fresh figs. So what do you think the Kohen would prefer? So, te'inim ala grogros b'makam shirigim lasos te'inim grogros. So, if the minig is everyone prefers their figs dried, so then you can give them fresh figs. Below grogros al te'inim b'afil b'makam shirigim lasos te'inim grogros. But, in a place where, even where people like drying their figs, but don't give the Kohen dried figs if you have the option of giving him fresh big figs. Amar Mar, Tormen Te'inim Al Grogros B'Makom Shergilim Lasos Te'inim Grogros B'Makom Shergilim In B'Makom Shem Regilim Lo. So the Gemara says, well, let's make a simple diuk, right? Only if the minig is to that people may convert their fresh figs into dried figs. But b'makom sherigilim in b'makom shein regilim lo. But if that's not the minhag, then no. Hey chidami idi kakon makom shein regilim my lo. Now the Gemara wants to know: is there a kohen there? Or is there not a kohen there? Okay, I should have mentioned this a couple minutes earlier. I'll mention it right now. When I take off Trumas HaMaestros, the Mishnah in Truma teaches us that there's a difference whether you have a kohen accessible or if you don't have a kohen accessible, right? And it makes perfect sense. Meaning this is, what I'm about to say is such a logical point. If there's a kohen available, so you can give him stuff that is going to be perishable, because he's right there. So you can give him even perishables. But if the kohen is not there, if you don't have a kohen available and accessible, so you should take things off that, if possible, will sustain and keep for a longer period of time. Okay? So, fresh fig versus a dry fig. You know, one of the advantages of a dried fig is they stay. They're good like that. All dried fruits stay, right? So a dried fig is good because it gets to stay longer. So the Mishnah in Trumas tells us that if a kohen is available, give him the fresh stuff. If a kohen is not available, give him the dried stuff. So the Gemara says, "Hey chidami, idi kohen makom shein ragil amay lo v'atanan makom sheish kohen tor min hayafe." If the kohen is available, give him the fresh stuff. Elapshita deleka a kohen. So it must be that we were talking about a scenario where there's no kohen. Claim a seifa. But then, if that's true, what about the next part of the Mishnah where it says velo grogros ala te'inim? Don't separate figs, dried figs, off of the fresh figs. Afilu b'makom sheragilim lasos te'inim. So grogros, even where it's done, where people enjoy a dried fig over a fresh fig, either like a kohen. Now, if there's no kohen, that doesn't make any sense. My love, if there's no kohen available, so then go with things that'll last, meaning go with the dried fig. So elapshita de ika kohen, resha de leka kohen, seifa de ika kohen. So now the first part of the of that Mishnah or Bryce is talking about where there is a kohen, and the second part is where there isn't a kohen, in resha de leka kohen. So other way around, sorry. In Reisha Deleka Kohen, first part of the Braisa, where there's no Kohen, that's why figs are preferable, and Seifa De'ika Kohen, and the second part of the Braisa is where there is a Kohen, that's why the fresh figs are preferable. Okay? So, just a point of clarification, what's better? What's better is, if there's a Kohen, give him the fresh stuff. If there's no Kohen, separate the dried figs. Okay? That is the point of the Braisa. Amar Papa Shmamina. You see what we just did in a braisa? We just did something which is not pleasant, but it's better. What we did is that we set up the first part of the braisa talking about a case where there's no kohen, and the second part of the braisa is talking about a case where there is a kohen. It's not pleasant to do that, to give two scenarios for one braisa, but the alternative is worse. What's the alternative? To say that braisa is authored by two different tanayim. But to say that the braisa is authored by two different tanayim because, as Rashi points out, there is an opinion in the Mishnayos and Trumos that says, always the best. always the freshest. I don't care if there's no kohen there. So what we could have done in that brisa is put the first part of the brisa as one tana and the second part of the brisa as another tana. We could have done that. We prefer to give two different scenarios to the two brisas rather than to assign two different authors to that same brisa. Okay, quickly now to sum up. Okay, that was good. All right, we basically finished the topic. The big topic of yesterday and today, of Nun Dal and Nun Hay and Menachos, is how do we view things as they once were, or do we view them as they currently are? Okay, the Mishnah Uksin, the simple pshat of the Mishnah Uksin is, you look at things as is. The Mishnah Taharos basically gives us the same sense as well. The Mishnah Taharos basically also says, you look at things as is. Rabba suggested, maybe if it did have a shear, it reduced and then rehydrated. Maybe then you also look at it. The Gemara doesn't seem to have accepted Rabba's position. It seems to be that the conclusion of the Gemara is you look at things as is. With that in mind, we went through an assortment of Mishnayos and Braisos from Trumos that talked about the dried figs with the fresh figs, the dried figs are half the volume. And how does that work, especially if you consider that you look at things as is and not as they once were. So we went through numerous understandings of the Braisa regarding whether we're talking about Meiser, Truma Gedola, or Trumas Meiser. The Gemara finally can see that we're talking about Trumas Meiser, which on one hand is 10%, but is not a hard 10%. It's a soft 10%. With consideration should always be give generously to the Kohen. Okay? And then a final point, which is the last part that we just covered was, in general, what am I supposed to give to the Kohen? Fresh figs or dry figs? The better stuff or the stuff that will last longer? And generally speaking, the answer is the better stuff, unless the Kohen is not there, then set aside stuff that will last. Okay. Stop here. Tomorrow, pick it up with the new Mishnah and a new topic for tomorrow.